Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. On this second Sunday of Advent and the new church year, our reading this morning is from the Gospel according to Luke. The reading comes at the end, the culmination of the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, the parents of John the Baptist. Zechariah was a priest. Elizabeth was a descendant from Aaron. So they were both upper crust, educated, religious people in the Jewish society. They were growing old and they had no children, which we know was considered a disgrace in those days. And Zechariah was performing his priestly duties one day, and an angel appeared to him, pronouncing that Elizabeth would bear a child and that they were to name him John. Zechariah's response was, "How will I know if this is so? For I am an old man and my wife is getting on in years." Gabriel was not happy. So he didn't like the response and he told Zechariah, "Because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak until the day these things occur." And so it was that Zechariah could only motion to people or write his thoughts. He could not speak. And on the day of the baby's circumcision, Elizabeth said the baby was to be named John, and the response from everyone was, "You have no relatives named John." But Zechariah wrote on a piece of paper, "His name is John." And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue freed, and he began to speak and praise God. And filled with the Holy Spirit, he spoke this prophecy: "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant, that the oath he swore to our ancestor Abraham to grant us, that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Zechariah's beautiful words come after an imposed 9-month timeout. We think of timeouts as a necessary consequence for children to help them understand what they have done and to hopefully guide them into not doing it again. Or my other theory is it's simply a way for parents to get a break from the noise, from the chaos of children. The timeout may be for the parents as much as it is for the kids. But reading through this story a few times and pondering it, I began to think about Zechariah's timeout. The inability to speak. You can just imagine how much anxiety that produced in me. As if someone came along and pushed the mute button and then hid the remote for 9 months. Silence. Every thought, every need, every fear, unable to bring them into the world through sound. Deafening silence. But there's another vision that I saw as I read and pondered, a man forced into being alone with his own thoughts. I wondered, were his other senses heightened? Did his life take on new meaning? In his incubation of silence, did he meditate on the upcoming great move of God in his life and in the world? It does seem that this 9-month timeout did bring about profound changes in both his personality and his faith. The story tells us that before all of this happened, that Zechariah was a righteous man. He always followed the law. And now here, even after all of that, his life was being turned upside down. His predictable life was no longer. Even as a priest of God, he could not control the mute, the silence that had been imposed upon him. And as I get older, I find that I like silence much more than I did when I was young. And I'm guessing this is a good thing because I'm losing my hearing. And I'm not far away from some really small, really nice, very attractive hearing aids. They have been offered to me both by my doctor and my husband already. Silence is golden. It is too true. Silence can be golden. But what of the times in our lives when silence has been imposed upon us the way it was imposed upon Zechariah? That silence that comes from a major change in our life. A job is no longer there to bring those sounds of stability. A relationship ends and the sounds of those crucial conversations no longer take place. There was a dream that cannot be fulfilled, and now there is silence where there used to be such hope. There was health, and the health is gone, and now there is only the silence of wondering what the future holds. Something that has been taken from us, leaving a silence, leaving a void, silencing our voice, leaving a space, rendering our very lives mute. And replaced is anxiety, the fear, the hopelessness that can come when the sounds that meant so much to us are no longer there. But silence can be golden, even if it feels like we have been abandoned. For as long as there has been a world, God has done preparatory work in our silence. God saved Zechariah from his own disbelief during the 9-month timeout, during the time when he was unable to express his fears, his grief, and even the questions of faith that must have come, wondering what was next. In this season of darkness, there is stillness. We only need to look outside to see that nature is forcing a time out on our little part of the creation. But just like a snow day, the silence of this season gives us an opportunity to look deeply into our own hearts to see if there's any changes that need to be made, to ask what God is doing in our lives. The silence offers us redemption and transformation, to learn to trust in God, to live without fear, and to live without anxiety for the future. Because always into the darkness, the light of Christ comes. Thomas Merton wrote that the Advent mystery is the beginning of the end of all in us that is not yet Christ. Are there more beautiful words to think about the hope that we have entered into, that in the transformation, that those places in our lives that are not yet Christ can still be changed? Into the silence, especially in the forced and imposed silence, comes Christ. The day spring. That's what we sang of. And O come Emmanuel. The day spring, who redeems us by shining a bright, holy light into our lives, shattering the darkness. The light that changes us, supports us, and loves us into full being. Zechariah's life was changed and his joy overflowed, and he left us with this prayer. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. May it be so for you and for me. Amen.